You mind sitting by the prosecutor?
Are we fighting people?
No, I put you over there because Jeff said you want to sit with
me. Yeah. How are you? Well, I specified which it was, so I'm not sure that was it.
Hi, Sheriff.
Hello.
Sorry.
I'm here for the nuisance deal, but I don't think I'm necessarily here for the comment thing. I think that's you in on comment, drug task force.
But did you want to bring this issue, or should we?
That'd be fine.
It's entirely up to you.
Mr. Cotty about it. I'll do whatever you guys need me to do on that.
Is this the issue?
For these guys?
Just because of the Supreme Court case that went through.
If you want to present it, we'll approve it.
I don't care.
We're going to prove it anyway because it's a matter of law, is it?
Yeah. That's why I brought that to Frank's attention.
Right, we just have to approve it.
So I'll do whatever you all want me to do on it. I don't know what.
What do you feel we need to do regarding?
I want to treat that.
What regarding?
You doing okay?
Yep.
I know what you want. You have talked to Jeff about it.
Question is,
we don't have to vote on it.
Oh.
No.
Are you aware of it?
As far as the administrative thing of making sure that Jeff
is this entered into the record and, or not?
Sounds like we're still moving in that direction.
I don't know enough about the procedure.
Well, I just hadn't talked with you too much about it.
Yeah. Let's do it now because I don't want
to. Yeah, let's just do it.
There's one that in Polk County.
Okay. Jeff, I think we can Jeff, we can address this administratively, so we'll just deal with it after this.
Cape your heart open.
Then are we back on? I'd like to call our meeting back to order following recess. And we have before us a Comet Drug Task Force order and ordinance. Sheriff?
Yes.
Is this from you?
Yes. Yeah, that was presented to you. We gave it to Frank a month or so ago.
Mm-hmm.
A couple months ago.
Jimmy, my question earlier, and I directed it to Trostier, which I thought that both of you were involved. Is this a repetitive, as the comment thing that was proposed to us before in years past, the same?
No. I don't believe it's been proposed to you before, at least according to your records, it hadn't been.
Okay.
It should have been back whenever it first began.
2005 or 6?
No,
or so.
1990.
Well, I wasn't here at that time,
yeah.
So.
Is in the public jurisdiction or anything?
No.
This is not an item that's going to affect the budget. It's
no.
Just an agreement between.
Yes. Right. No monetary value.
Right. Just it's the multi-jurisdictional agreement that it is.
Yes.
Okay.
Haven't I reviewed this before?
Yes.
And approved it as a form?
Yes.
If you want to read the ordinance, why don't you go ahead, Jim? Okay. Here's the ordinance as it recommends. An ordinance authorizing the County of Taney to enter into an agreement with the combined Ozarks Multi-Jurisdictional Enforcement Team, also known as COMET, and for the Taney County Sheriff's Department to participate as a member agency in COMET. You may read the whole thing. Whereas it is desirable to target, investigate, and prosecute offenders in a systematic, interjurisdictional fashion with the other Ozark area law enforcement agencies. Whereas coordination among local law enforcement agencies will enhance the efforts of the Taney County Sheriff's Department in investigation and apprehending drug offenders and curtailing drug trafficking within the Taney County limits. And whereas COMET is a multi-jurisdictional enforcement group formed for the purpose of intensive professional investigation of computer, internet-based narcotics and drug law violations. Now, therefore, it be ordained by the Taney County Commission of Taney County, Missouri, as follows. That the Taney County Commission authorizes the Taney County Sheriff's Department to enter into an agreement with COMET to become a member agency of Comet and to enter into such agreement on an annual basis as long as this ordinance remains in effect. This ordinance shall be in full force and effective immediately from and after passage. Pass and approve this day of 2012. Motion to approve such ordinance.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded to approve an ordinance authorizing the County of Taney to enter into an agreement with a combined Ozarks multi-jurisdictional enforcement team, Comet, for the Taney County Sheriff's Department to participate as a member agency in Comet. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed nay. Motion carries. Probably a second one there as well underneath. We had an item labeled prosecutor's request and listed under budget issue, and it's something that I understand we can just move forward on administratively, and we're going to do that. Last issue we have on the day is a nuisance work session, and just quickly let me make a comment and the other commissioners may comment as well. At least in the time that I've been here for this year and all of last year, we have had continual calls from the public regarding one type of nuisance or another, and we have had council look into what authority we had as a first-class county to enact a nuisance order. I know that the county commission had a nuisance order prior. It expired. And this commission was looking at reauthorization of that and found that there wasn't really any authority that would give us any teeth or any ability to enforce whatever order we might put together. And we have sent out a request to counties, and we've asked Mr. Berry to send out a request of health centers across the state to see if we could find information that would help us in understanding what other first-class counties have done, if in fact they have any type of nuisance ordinance in a first-class county, if in fact they have found statutorily teeth to enforce that ordinance, and where they derive their authority to put it in place in the first place. And since all of us deal with that, and since the sheriff gets calls and the prosecutor gets calls and you all get calls at the health center, we thought that it would be good for us to sit down and talk about where we are and eventually come to the position that we can all basically tell the same story if, in fact, we can find what that message is that we need to impart to the public. So we thought
if we work together, we could reach that point. And Frank, I'd like to call on you to chat about what it was. I know I just that you found originally, which I pretty much set out already, but and then where we're at today, and I thought we would all talk about it. We've got some information in some packets, I think, of different counties that have responded, but not a meeting today to be spearheaded by us, just a roundtable discussion, which is why we were all trying to get down there and talk about this issue. And
Frank. Yeah, thank you, Commissioner. I have spent quite a bit of time researching the law, trying to figure out a solution to the problem of nuisances, and along with co-counsel have been out to actually look at some examples of nuisance areas, areas where complaints have been made. What we found is that the statutes under which the ordinance that was in place in here in the county was enacted did not provide an adequate enforcement mechanism. It was great. It empowered the county to set out all kinds of standards that should be met by good citizens, but there was no way that it could be enforced. There were no teeth, as Commissioner Hausman termed it. I set about to try to find statutes that would give this county that authority, and there just simply are none that I've been able to find. There are statutes that are broad that allow the county enacting the ordinance to set down regulations that would deal with weeds, with what we think of just general trash, with abandoned cars. Also, the imagination was used by the legislators in scope in putting together a statute that was broad enough to allow county governments to pass ordinances that would deal with the whole spectrum of problems that just come under the heading of nuisance. However, for whatever reason, those statutes did not give that power to counties of the first class like Taney County. I don't know why that was, but it was. And without those statutes being extended in scope by the Missouri State Legislature to counties of the first class, they don't help us. We've looked at other avenues, and in fact, the commission has requested information from other counties of the first class to see what they've tried to tailor to deal with similar problems. I've looked at some of those responses. You can see we have them. It's a stack of documents. I know that one county reports that they use the authority of the planning and zoning rules to try to deal with nuisance situations. Another county reports that they rely upon Department of Natural Resources authority to deal with the dumping of noxious fluids, noxious materials. Efforts have been apparently made in other counties to take statutes that are designed to deal with, for instance, planning and zoning problems or pollution problems, and to stretch those to use to deal with nuisance problems that probably were not envisioned by the legislature. But we are looking at those to see if anything would fit and would make sense to use in this county, but we simply don't have that now. One county relies upon a statute that prohibits maintaining a junkyard within a certain distance from any county or state road unless you have a fence built up, and provides for an order of the court requiring the owner to remove the junk or to build the fence or be guilty of a misdemeanor. I don't see where there is any further provision in there that would tell us what to do in a situation where somebody is not operating a junkyard but just has junk piled up on his property and chooses not to put up a fence. Again, it's an imaginative effort by that county to try to deal with the problem. Whether it would work down here is something that we need to look into, and I guess it would be for the people to decide whether they want that sort of restriction used. But that's where we stand. We've gathered what information we can. My conclusion as a lawyer is that our hands are simply tied at this point because the legislation that would help us doesn't extend to first-class counties. The quick fix would be for the legislature, the Missouri State Legislature, to simply add first-class counties to those which are entitled to enact ordinances, and then to submit it to the voters of this county and let them decide if they want us to pursue that. But that would be on my wish list, and wishing doesn't make it so. And that's essentially where I am.
I mean, I don't need to add anything to what Frank and Ron have said. I mean, I'd be more curious to hear from you guys as a work session. I mean, Mr. Berry, you know some of the challenges we have. We get calls, and first thing we try to do is direct them to the health department, see if there's a violation there that under your authority you can handle. I know you gave us a document. You want to, can I go through that? Or?
That's the one, Robert.
Yeah, yes.
That was just a report. Robert did it, so you may want to respond to it. The inspector's report to Robert, so, and I have the inspector here that normally responds to the county. Just if anybody wanted to ask him anything.
This is just a compilation of the data that we've collected since 2008. You know, you can see that you know, the majority of the complaints we received in 2009 and 2010 when the ordinance was really being enforced or responded to. And after it, I guess, concluded, you can see that the number of complaints actually dropped off quite a bit. But I would anticipate that if we did have an ordinance, we could see easily 100 complaints a year. And some of these are pretty severe. And from our standpoint, it's very frustrating to have an issue that is quite clearly something that is hazardous. But because it's on private property, it's somebody's it's somebody's personal private property on their private property, and we can't do anything about it. There's one instance that's out in the county around near Hollister where it's essentially a flooded out RV, mm-hmm. and it's sitting there, and it's now they have kids that are attracted to it because it's abandoned. They can get inside of it, and it's full of mold and sludge and whatever else is in there. And, we've sent letters to the owner saying, it's a health hazard, it's a public safety issue. But we've tried to encourage him to fix the problem, but, because he lives out of state, and it's just not going to happen. And we can't do anything about it from our standpoint with the ordinances and state statutes that we can deal with. And that's one of the extreme cases, but we constantly get calls from the public about different issues like that, and we do follow up on them. And on the second page, there is different categories of complaints that we deal with, everything from general environmental health issues, trash, sewage, mold. Sewage, sometimes we're able to follow up with different issues there that we could possibly look at DNR or through the Common Sewer District or other ordinances. Mold, that's a big issue around here, but again, that falls outside of anything that we could actually do. But in all these instances, most of these instances, when you have trash, standing water, tall grass, that provides, food, habitat, breeding grounds for pests, for mosquitoes, for those sorts of things. So when we get into that situation, it's, again, working with the homeowners, education. That works sometimes, but if you come across somebody who's absolutely stubborn, is not going to fix the problem, we come face to face with a brick wall, and it ends right there. As soon as they fail to comply, and if they don't want to do it, we can't really compel them to do it, and that's where the issue is really the problem.
Let me just interject a comment here. When you talk about enforcing a state rule, which we are authorized to do under state statute, whatever the state health rule is, we're authorized to enforce that. That enforcement always comes back to the local prosecutor. I mean, the state, even if we gather all the information, now this is my understanding, and I hope I'm correct on this. We gather all the information, we give it to the state, they do their investigation, but eventually, if it's going to be an enforcement issue, it will come back to the local prosecutor's office. And Jeff and I visited about the priority of these things and the workloads, and Sheriff and I have talked about it. The judges have gotten involved in most of these type things. And with their workload, it's just not a very high priority. And so what we did is, when I started looking for things, I visited with Stephanie Browning over at Columbia Boone County because I knew she had an ordinance. And I didn't even ask if they were first-class county or not. But that was the ordinance that she shared with me, and mm-hmm. was excited about it. I don't know how long it's been in the force, but she said they had had quite a bit of success with it. And it actually works through the county commission and doesn't involve the prosecuting attorney and the judges. It actually has the authority for the health department to take the ordinance and declare it in violation, and if the person doesn't clean it up and abate it, then the health officer issues an order and asks for a hearing before the county commission and invites or contacts the owner, property, everybody involved, and they have a short period of time to conduct that hearing, and then the county commission makes a judgment as to whether there's enough evidence to sustain the report from the health department and can order an abatement, and has a process set up where they have contractors who will abate the property, pay for it, and attach a tax bill to the property owner. To me, that worked quite well. The only time that the sheriff would get involved, I guess, is if we didn't have access to the property, because we don't carry badges or guns. We're not authorized
right. And
deputized to any property. So, and I hadn't had a chance to discuss this with the prosecutor, but with the workload and all, I just thought this was a great idea if the county commission could take a look at this item. And I didn't see the others. I had the one from Boone County.
Right.
And when I looked at these others, I think in my quick review of them, Cole County and Boone County are almost duplicated. And some of the others are a little bit different. The ones from Cape Girardeau I thought were very bundlesome. I wasn't too impressed with it. I didn't really look at one up in Cannon County yet. But we came actually into the discussion, for help. We tried to, we worked quite well back when we first started trying to. We had one time, I think you had somebody trying to go out and answer complaints, mm-hmm. and we had people going out and answering complaints, so we said, that's a deeper effort. Since you had a part-timer, and we had somebody that's sort of routinely doing it, so we just packed it on, it was okay for us to go out and do the investigation, but if we thought we couldn't do anything about this issue better to talk to the landowner, if we had to take an enforcement thing, we just brought it back to the county commission, because we knew at that point in time it had to come back to the prosecutor for us to do anything. And I know he's had times, way back, I think he's had stacks of these things that got to his office. And when I say stacks, I don't know how many. But
we have boxes upstairs, so we didn't send them all over. So
I thought this conversation would be really good. And, I appreciate the attorney's opinion. But, again, I would base my excitement on the fact that we did have a working ordinance, Stephanie did say they actually had to do this 2 or 3 times before it got people's attention, and then it started working a lot better. So, and I like this one because it had a statement about agriculture, which mm-hmm. has always been a problem. And when you start talking about personal property, and particularly into the rural areas, it's a different mindset on what is really a constitutional claim. So, that's where we were here, just for that discussion.
I was just looking at the Boone County ordinance here, and it says that it's enacted under authority vested in the County Commission of Boone County, Missouri, by sections 192, 300, and 67.402. They are a first-class county, aren't they?
Yes.
Yes.
They made a
challenge. Yeah. That could be too. There's a lot of things that go and are never challenged.
I'm gonna pull it up and see if I can't see what the statutes are.
Yeah, see, that'll be interesting to see what those statutes.
My understanding is that ordinance.
67 is PMZ statute.
Is it a civil?
My understanding is the statute authorizes the county to enact an ordinance that would enhance the public health and prevent entrance of infectious diseases, stuff like that, which is a pretty broad
scope. Yeah, that's pretty common. We've used that when we...
And to set up fees to pay the costs of dealing with the situations that have been outlawed. And making it a violation, a misdemeanor, a violation of the order, at least, a misdemeanor. And my understanding was that the county commissioner or the health department was empowered under that to initiate court proceedings. I may have misunderstood you earlier. I need to look at it again, but I don't think it gives the county commission or the health department authority to hit somebody with a fine. I mean, I still think you have to go to the circuit court and pursue a criminal or semi-criminal type of action.
Well, I have no legal background, so
says the county commission and county health center boards of the several counties may establish reasonable fees to pay for any cost incurred in carrying out such orders. Goes on through talking about the fees. It says all fees generated under provisions of this section shall be used to support the public health activities for which they were generated.
67402 is specifically written for a select 9 first class counties for this ordinance. I mean, that's Andrew, Boone, Buchanan, Cass, Cold Day, Jasper, Jefferson, Livingston, and Newton County are only listed in this specific ordinance. That's the authority. There was legislation written for these guys. It's first-class counties, but we don't quite meet the qualification from a population perspective. But that's the authority. It seems like it'd be easier for us to get added to this ordinance, I mean to this piece of legislation, because this is the power they have is through this piece of legislation.
Yeah, if you're going to add the name of the county, you could also change the population.
Uh-huh, you'd have to do that.
Are you asking that we proceed through our reps to somebody to pursue it for us?
I mean, that's obviously one way to do it, because obviously we know the prosecutor, he's got a full workload. We know that, I mean, from the prioritization, this would be low, plus, from an authority perspective, this seems a lot cleaner, this ordinance. I mean, this piece of legislation looks a lot cleaner than... That's how Boone's able to do it. They're listed in this piece of legislation.
Well, that's probably Buchanan is, too.
Yeah, they are. Buchanan is listed.
Buchanan's is as thick as all the rest of them put together, I think.
Yeah, there's a lot more detail. I thought Cole County looked similar, but I
didn't. Cole is also listed
in here. In that group. Mm-hmm.
What the sheriff referred to is Chapter 192, and that, I think, Frank, is what you were quoting from when you talked about infectious, contagious.
That just gives you authority. We've written some ordinances. So that's like food inspections and other things kind of come under that ordinance, too. It just gives you authority to protect the health and bringing in disease and that sort of thing. It's sort of general, if that's one I'm thinking about.
Yeah.
I mean, when we reach the point of an abandoned building or a collapsed building inside a subdivision or something, do we need to pursue representation from our senators and reps to get this introduced and get Taney County's name on there and the population restriction reduced?
I mean, like I said, that's obviously
one. I mean, that's one of the options.
It's one of the options, which would be next year. Is there any, I mean, I guess one of the things that Ron said in his opening comments was, what do we tell the public when they're calling? I mean, we're getting calls. Jimmy, I'm sure you're getting calls. I know Mr. Berry and the health department's getting calls. I mean, that's probably the biggest thing is I don't like, is there a reason or is there some certain conditions on property or that you guys would have the authority to do some enforcement?
We could pursue it through the state rule and try to follow that all the way up. And, but I said, eventually, in order to enforce that, we would have to come back to the local.
Right.
Oakland.
I think really the only thing that you could go through would be the health department or a DNR.
And
it's really
think
the main thing that's got authority on any of that at this point.
I think with the previous commission, that was sort of the agreement we came to since we were both sending people out. Mm-hmm. We didn't have the ordinance. We had the state rule. You had the ordinance. And we just simply had a gentleman's agreement that said that since we were, that we would go look at it first.
Right.
From the health, and if we felt that there was anything we could accomplish through the health inspection and rule, that we would work it from that standpoint. And we, you know, 1 out of 15, you could send a letter to the landowner and they'll clean it up, you know, so at least we could do that much. Then if we didn't see that we could enforce it through the health, then we would bring it back or send it back to the commissioners. And so we did that for a while, and I think it just got to piling up, and so we finally said we really wasn't any need to send them back. Just
right.
To make y'all aware that we looked at them, and then Craig, who was doing motion inspections, he and I would talk, and we you know, if it was something we really thought we needed to satisfy a complaint, at least go look at it and talk to the people. But we basically tell them that we really don't have any authority. We'll contact the owner and see what we can do. And like I said, you might have success and you may not.
I think of all the years that I've been here, there's only been 2 cases, and they were voluntarily after we applied pressure.
Yeah.
And the pressure that we applied, I don't think had followed.
Well, somebody got it cleaned up out there behind on that cutoff road going toward BB. I don't know. Uh-huh. I thought maybe you did that, but that one place there at that high water, low water crossing.
We did a couple of those.
Yeah.
Since I've been here, we've done a couple of
basically using one for an example to get the other one cleaned up.
But in order to respond to it, and the community has a problem, and if it's a community problem, it's where you put it in the safety or our lab, or whatever. It's a community problem. And just in order to respond to it, we're going to have some way of enforcement. If we're not, we're going to try to do public relations, and that's about. It's not going to stop the calls to your offices, and it's not going to stop the calls to our offices.
Well, I'm not telling any of you anything you don't already know and haven't already experienced, but it's incredibly frustrating to when you do answer the call and you go because the people are pleading with you just to come look. And a couple of these places I've been to, our floors are falling through, the roof is falling through, grass is this high, and it's in subdivision. And look in their eyes when I tell them I don't know what I can do to help, but I will do my best to find out is,
I had a lady call me the other day and wanted me to get the Corps of Engineers to cut weeds on their property, and I referred her to Danny.
I'll do that same thing next time, Mr. Berry. I'll refer him to Danny.
I thought that would. I tried to reason with that lady that I didn't think any of us here had any power or persuasive that we're going to get the Corps of Engineers to cut that native stuff that was growing up.
And you know, you just mentioned something there that if we move forward with any kind of an ordinance, we need to be very careful about that, because I noticed that was in Boone County's ordinance was weed heights. 12 inches of stuff. Now this year, that's no problem because weed won't grow. Don't have no standing water or anything like that. So, but that's something we need to be very cautious of.
That's true.
Because you could get in an absolute mess over stuff like that.
Right.
Now, as I understand it, as we visited with Frank, the cities have the authority. Third-class counties have the authority. I guess every class but us, first class, and this has been written for the 9 counties in the first class. I see no other option than to pursue our representative and have them try to add, just as we have in other situations. And it takes a lot of time and a lot of effort, but at least it would be saying we're trying to do something about the real severe cases.
You know, I wonder, the law is there for the third class counties and stuff to make the ordinances. Why did these 9 counties pursue another ordinance to add them instead of just changing it to first class on the statute that was already there? That's kind of kind of an odd way to go about it.
Almost all those, Jimmy, are population restricted. If you don't have a certain amount of population, they don't, even though we're a first-class county, it's in the ordinance or in the statute, it has a population number that it affects, and we can't reach that as I think we're the lowest populated first-class county in the state.
When was that one adopted? It may have been adopted prior to...
I closed it up. I mean, a lot of times, Jimmy, it's also because they don't want to get involved in some first-class counties that just don't want to fight this battle.
I know that. It's like maybe St. Louis County didn't want it.
It was hard to say. I mean, whenever this was adopted, Taney County may not have been interested at that point. I don't know.
Maybe before we had first-class counties.
I didn't know. Jeff, well, I mean, is there anything we're missing? We know your workload's heavy, so is there anything that, you know, I mean, what we've got is a bunch of needs out there and a bunch of messes that need to be cleaned up. And
well, I can tell you that one of my concerns has been with, see, we're not an investigative agency. We don't get nearly as many calls as the health department does or Sheriff Russell does or the commission does. One concern I had stems from a few years ago now where we were working on some planning and zoning enforcement through the county ordinances.
Mm-hmm.
And we had some reports submitted to us on some zoning violations and got some incorrect identifiers on suspects. What that means is incorrect date of birth, incorrect social security number. It's maybe somebody with the same or similar name of who we believe the suspect is, who owns the property that's in question. And I want to say at least one occasion, maybe two, summons goes out, nobody comes to court, so the court issues a warrant for that person, and it goes out for somebody who's not supposed to go out for them.
Okay.
So, obviously, red flags go up. Once we figure that out, we dismiss it. And at that point, I talked to several different people and said, you know, listen, I don't feel comfortable filing these if we don't have maybe a report that we're maybe more familiar with getting. I can tell you when Sheriff Russell's department or the Branson Police Department or the other agencies in the county give us law enforcement reports, it's got things including the correct suspect name and date of birth and social security number, and we don't have problems with that.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so rather than run the risk of getting caught in a bad situation, and I think I described that for Robert earlier this week. He called me about a situation, and I kind of explained to him my concerns. I don't want to get my office in trouble and my county in trouble at all for some mistake like that.
Right.
And I guess I just have concerns about the investigations, and I'm not trying to. I mean, obviously, Sheriff Russell's department. I know that they don't have the additional manpower to be investigating a bunch of nuisance cases because they got 3 investigators down from 6 that they had a year and a half ago, and I thought the 6 that they had were swamped. I mean, they didn't have time to get to everything they got to get to. The 3 that they have now, I'm afraid that we're going to run them into a stroke or heart attack.
Right.
I mean, every time I see them, they're working on 10 different things at once. And a lot of times it's stuff for us that we're having to follow up on active investigations that we're trying to get enough information to file on. And I think that ideally, if this could be handled in a way that doesn't tack more burden onto the criminal justice system in our circuit, is probably going to be
the best
better way to handle it. And, you know, you mentioned we're busy. Sheriff's office got more work than they can handle as well. And frankly, the judges have plenty of work that keeps them preoccupied. I was in Judge Orr's court this afternoon, and he's still trying to figure out strategies to try to deal with the court dockets in Christian and Taney counties, because we don't have enough judges in our circuit.
Right.
And everybody at the state level can tell you that. I guess we're on the top of the list for getting another circuit judge whenever the money frees up at the state level to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But it hasn't. We've been on the top of the list for about 5 years now, and just hasn't happened. So if we could do it in such a way that it wouldn't burden the courts that way, I think that that would be ideal.
We've had at least two cases. This is very complicated. We've had at least two cases where owners of property, being elderly people, have went in and had their property cleaned up. They've had their kids come back on the premises and trash it back up. And what do you, I mean, it really puts you in a strange situation to try to go back in, and you're pleading with people that want to do the right thing, but they have their own relatives that are causing the problem. And that's happened at least twice since I've been here, and the situation was worse after we got through than it was before it started. So I...
I can tell you that as far as a scenario like that goes, I mean, there I think are remedies that can help deal with that, but sometimes it would require the decision on the part of the elderly parent or family member to take certain legal action against that other family member to keep them from dumping junk on the property. And while that's not an easy decision for somebody in that position to make, I don't think that if they refuse to do that, it necessarily makes it a legal, criminal legal situation.
Right. I wouldn't suggest that, but I can go tell you it's awful hard to go out to somebody with tears in their eyes saying, I'm trying to do the right thing. And
it is.
And they're afraid of their son or daughter or whoever, so it's very difficult. I mean,
it sounds like the only way to move forward is not write an ordinance that we can't enforce, and it seems like that one statute of 67, we just need to try to get added as Taney County gets added to that, and it's a longer process, but it may be the only process in which we can.
Still need to address Jeff's concern about how it's to be enforced, because I can appreciate we've had that same discussion about animal control officers going out and not being trained to write a report. We ran into that before, and so it's a matter of that training and the trust of the information that you get,
right.
In order to proceed. But
once we do that, we fall into these same counties, Mr. Berry. We fall into how their remedy is,
yeah.
and we have a resource to go back to and look and see how they're getting the job done, and if they're assessing fines, fees, or can have a letter issued for cleanup under an abatement process or whatever it takes to get the property cleaned up. At least we've got to start that way. We don't have even a starting point at this. Yeah. As we said here,
that was my feeling when I came in. But again, I can appreciate Jeff and the sheriff being here. If from their position in the county, if they're not comfortable of that type of abatement situation, is that or was you just wondering about a report that was coming to you?
Yeah, the reports that were coming to us, I mean, they were not bad reports, but they were missing certain things we're used to seeing in law enforcement reports, such as, you know, contacts with the suspect and confirming identity of the suspect.
I totally understand. Hopefully these other nine counties have got a better remedy than what we have.
But I guess my position was, though, is from your prosecuting office, would you have any problem reporting an abatement program? It didn't really involve you, but the commission would have that type program.
I think that we would welcome that.
I mean, that's the way I came to the meeting with that in mind.
Yeah.
If we could relieve you guys and the commission legally could assume that authority, then
I don't believe you'll find us having any argument with that.
Yeah, what if we were up here with our hands up, Sam?
Is that the process of this 64 402 statute? Is that kind of what he gives on there, Frank? Or the commission?
Have the name and telephone number of the commissioner's attorney.
Or does it just allow them to set the ordinance up as that?
I don't have the 67-402 in front of me.
Okay.
I've looked at it, though, before, Sheriff.
Chapter 64.
64
or 67-402.
67-402, yeah.
Well, the reason I state that is Greene County uses Chapter 64,
and they use it as a zoning regulation.
Okay.
And then they enforce it as a breach of that zoning regulation. Bob, are you familiar with, or you're not?
Like you said, a lot of, and again, it varies from county to county, but I know in Greene County, you're exactly right, they really enforce a lot of their nuisance regulations via the zoning ordinance, but it still ultimately kind of goes back to what the prosecuting attorney was referring to as well, because ultimately those statutes call out the prosecuting attorney enforces those provisions.
But if we have, is that another way? I'm just looking for options. Is that another way, in your estimation, aside from new legislation, which would add us to some package of counties that have already been crafted together, to work together to build something and it'd be a zoning regulation? They enforce them in Greene County.
And kind of going back even to an earlier question that was proposed, like as far as tall grass, just an example, if you enforce something like that via zoning, a lot of times you're going to limit that requirement to a certain zone district. You're going to say, well, we're only going to look at high grass maybe within a certain residential classification. Because otherwise you end up with, you don't want to be enforcing that in an agricultural area. So there are a lot of counties that do utilize something to look at a number of these things. But again, it does call for the enforcement of those things to be via the prosecuting attorney's office.
Well, let's make some calls to our legislative bodies, see if we can't get included. I know that's a long process, but... And we can pursue these other options as we go, but if we can get added to that list to make it a tool that we can work with through the organization of those 10 counties, that would be, you said 9 other counties?
I think there's 9, yes, sir.
Okay, and if we could find maybe another county or two that would like to be added, it would make it easier to get us passed on to that legislative law.
I don't have any objection to...
That's a long process, I know. But
moving in that direction, but yeah, it was mentioned earlier, a lot of times either valuations or population factors are included in the laws, not so much to specify one or two or three counties, although generally that's why it's done, but it's because there's so many of the other counties that don't want to be included. And you go to Jefferson City with great intentions and you find that the vast majority of other public entities are in opposition, and you lose your... So where I'm headed is we need to do our homework there and certainly talk to counties if that's the direction that we want to go. But I'm not adverse to that. We can certainly start in that direction. I'm really interested, Bob, and I wish that you would get a hold of Greene County in Z for me and see what they have done and what they have enacted. I know you get socked up there if you're in violation. It's up to $1,000 a day. It doesn't take very long to get.
I'm actually fairly familiar with their regulations, and like I said, you're exactly correct. They do enforce it via the zoning regulations. Now we're in the process of considering making a transition to a more traditional form of zoning, and so this could be something that will be proposed. Of course, it's got to go through a public hearing process where it would come before both the Planning Commission and the County Commission potentially for adoption. But again, probably the thing is the enforcement of these things, and we may have to be selective on what type of nuisance items we want to look at. because I think we've got the potential of getting hundreds of complaints, basically, at a certain point. I don't know.
Well, you know, we don't want to be. I forget what the old terminology was. Not Big Daddy, but we don't want to be the one that hands an unfunded mandate down to the prosecuting internally, interdepartmentally, without having the funds to make sure that we're taking care of what we're doing. So I really believe that we all need to work together on this and craft what's in our best interest, because it can affect all of us.
A public hearing that he mentioned would possibly bring out the naysayers as large as it would the people that were interested in trying to get something cleaned up, which I myself, even though the time frame would be a little longer, would much rather have state rule. I'd rather be added to those nine counties and make it a state law, because if you don't, when things change and whoever sits in certain positions, the laws will get lax or whatever. So I would rather pursue it that way myself, and because I've been to those public hearings.
So did you attend the ones on the previous?
Yes.
Yeah. And so those were interesting when they passed the other first ordinance.
So there was promises made there that couldn't be kept, you know, just to get an ordinance passed. A commissioner had to visit every site. And of course, we do that anyway, but the fact is it was in the regulations that a commissioner had to visit those sites. Well, you might want to put on your body armor, you know. So.
Well, you're passed up through the daddy anyway.
Well, that's the easy way. That's the bit I can hide in those weeds he was talking about.
There's another hidden issue out there that's not on the agenda today, but sad, a similar type thing, is it? And that is control and movement of exotic animals. Most of the incorporated areas have passed pretty stringent regulations on how they will be housed or where they can be housed, and the fear is that that's going to be pushed out into the county. If somebody wants to bring exotic animals in, and they have to meet real, real stringent regulations in the city of Branson. They're just simply move them outside of the county and hold them to bring them into the shelter. The city of Hollister, I think, passed an order so they can't store them at all, can't keep them at all in the city of Hollister.
Right.
That's getting to be a more problem.
And that's hanging out there about, you know, whose responsibility is it to
open hunting.
Oh. This one's still on.
Well, it's not part of it, but it is related to this same type of situation that you're very likely to get some complaints there. And I know the city governments have some concern about passing those regulations and pushing it out of the county. They really, I know Rick did not want to pass that one over in Hollister because he really did not want to force people to move out into the county where we would be forced to do regulations and where it was going to be harder to do than it was in the city. And we have had some of that going on. And the state doesn't have any real, real strong rules or regulations about that. I think one that I understood was about the only regulation was they were supposed to report them to your office.
If they brought them in, yeah. And most of them don't
do that.
You run across them whenever you're on a call.
Yeah. That's the same. That's the old law. Everything's all right until somebody gets hurt.
Well, and then there's so much more to it. You have to be able to identify the actual breed of the animal and then everything. We don't have anybody that's trained to do that, you know, these exotic animals, because some of them fall underneath the statute, some of them don't.
I thought your chief deputy could do
that. I'm not sure. I haven't seen some of them in here.
Bring them to your hearing.
At least I covered up.
So we'll just each try to get our strategies and keep talking to each other. And
all we can do at this point,
I mean, there really is nothing else we can do at this point.
So we appreciate you conducting this discussion.
Jeff or Jim, have you got anything else for your arguments at all?
I guess, I just want to say that, if we get the kind of investigation we feel comfortable and move forward with, and I told Robert this on the phone, that, we don't mind getting those reports and moving forward on them, but really, frankly, they're not a big priority when you think about we got homicide cases and child abuse cases and assault cases and all these other things. It's not a real pressing priority in our office when we come down to prioritizing what we've got to do for the good of the community. But I don't mean to foreclose the idea altogether that the right case comes along and rises to the top of the stack, so to speak, and that we move forward on it. It's just that we kind of got a little bit burned in the past, I think, mm-hmm. and just don't want to put everybody in a bad situation over trying to do that.
It would actually probably go through the system much quicker coming in front of you all than, really, if somebody wanted to kill the issue, bring it in front of the courts and ask for a jury trial, where jury trial's 2-3 years old now.
Right. Well, in fact, we could get the judges just to hear them on their lunch hour.
Yeah.
if you ever go to court, there's a good chance you could miss your lunch hour because they're working through it a lot of times.
And supper.
Well, the court center representative here. Back to yours.
Almost didn't recognize him without his mustache.
You know, the cooperative effort we got in cleaning up the places that were cleaned up were just a posting or somebody asking. I mean, I about went and asked somebody to clean up their property before we had to do something. That's back when we had an ordinance. And they would do it. They'd clean it up. It's because they didn't want to go through the process. But the ones that just are actually trying to see how far they can push the law, that's the ones you have the problem with. So.
Yeah, there's various problems. You have the out-of-state owners, you have renters, and the renters are the ones that's trashing the property.
Right.
You're right. My question to all of you real quick, and then I'll be done, is in everything that we've received thus far, it doesn't look like we can move forward unless there is legislative change and or regulations put in place through P&Z, such as Greene County has done. I don't know if that's written specifically for them up there or not. I don't think so, but under Chapter 64. But I'd like to chat with you, Bob, about that and what regulations they have in place. Just take a look. And appreciate everybody's comments and your time very much. It's I know it's compared to some of the other things that we're working on, it seems trivial, but to those people who continue to call, it's not. At least it's not in their perspective.
Well, they believe you have the authority to do it.
Yes, they do. Mm-hmm. Yes, they do.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, guys.
Jeff, thank you.
Jeff, the chairman of the meeting.
Gentlemen.
Motion to adjourn.
Danny, second.
Second.
Motion's been made. Second. Adjourn. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye.